What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you're tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much. As always, welcome to our Christmas special. It's a big day. It's the end of the year. It's the last podcast we're going to do of the year. It's been a big year. But first things first, follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit under our new Twitter handle, at Kinda Neat. No more That's Kinda Neat. Now it's just at Kinda Neat. For some reason, when I signed up, that shit wasn't available. And on a whim, last night, I checked to see if it could be at Kinda Neat. And all of a sudden, it could be. So that's fantastic. We also have a new YouTube channel address because YouTube now allows custom URLs. So our YouTube address is youtube.com/c/kindaneat. So no more youtube.com/thatskindaneat, even though I think it'll still, if you type in the old one, it'll still take you to our new custom URL. So yeah, head there and you can see our guest today, Michael Christmas, very on the nose for our Christmas special, performing his song Fuck With Me. It was great. This is a great conversation. I had a lot of good times. And with that being said, I think I want to kind of just like summarize the year with this intro. It was a big year. I tweeted the other day something that kind of stuck with me where I said, it was a weird year. A lot of things happened and nothing happened. And that is true, and that's probably true in everybody's life, but it just felt like some fucking Twitter deep shit to me at the moment. But basically, man, a lot of shit happened in my life this year. I went to Australia. That was huge, and that was so tight. I've always wanted to do that. I quit smoking cigarettes, which was a big deal for me. I've been smoking for 15 years, and now it's been 8 months and a few days that I haven't smoked a cigarette, and I'm creeping up on a year very quickly. The big thing that for you guys, probably that I put out an album this year, I put out an album in April, and it fucking did amazing. It did so much better than we ever thought it would or could have hoped that it would. You know, to this day, you guys are still supporting it so much, and we're so grateful for that. We had a crazy record release party. It was one of my favorite shows I've ever played. And then for my birthday, we sold out the Troubadour, which was amazing as well. And a lot of that is because of you guys that tune in and listen to this. So I'm so fucking grateful for you people. And what you mean, you people? No, I mean you podcast listeners. Yeah, I don't know. Thank you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Big things with the channel this year that happened. Like last year when we started, it took us about a year to hit 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, and we did that in, I think, maybe February or early March. As of now, we have 25,000 subscribers, so in less than a year, we've more than doubled our subscribers, so thank you guys so much for that, because you're obviously getting the fucking word out, and you're commenting, and you're liking videos, and you're sharing them on Twitter and Facebook like good supporters for this free shit that we give you. Thank you so much for that. And the craziest shit on Thanksgiving, we hit 4 million plays on YouTube, which is insane too. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks to Ben for all of his hard work that he's done this year. That guy's really been an ace in the hole. Like, everything that we do is pretty much last minute and just on an artist's whim. Like, if they're in town and we can get them to give us 3 hours of their time, you know, there are three things that I have to make happen in order to make a podcast happen. One of them is the artist needs to be down and available. And then the other thing is the studio needs to be open. And then the third thing is Ben needs to be available. And when the stars align and those three things happen, that's when we get to make all this magic. And the thing is that Ben has been able to just bend over backwards for us to make that happen and always be available. And so very grateful for that. And for Daddy Kev for letting us use these wonderful studios at Cosmic Zoo. Yeah, and all the artists that have just fucked with us and trusted us and seen the vision and understand that it's cool. Like, great things happen when you just work hard. And, you know, today was a great example with Michael Christmas where I had been slacking. After we did the Father podcast, for all intents and purposes, I took a month off. I don't know why. I think maybe I've been just kind of down in the dumps or something. I don't know what it was, but I took a month off. I didn't do any podcast shit. Haven't really been doing that much photo work stuff. I've kind of just been sitting at home and like retouching images, and I haven't been able to work out because my fucking shoulders hurt. So I've just been having to run and not get to lift weights. And so it hasn't been the greatest of times, but for some reason, I got a spark in my ass last night or two nights ago. And I said, you know what? I haven't done a podcast in a while and I need to like do some shit. So I just tweeted out like, I want to do a podcast soon, and I'm trying to get these artists, so I'm like manifesting. And one of the artists on that tweet was Michael Christmas. And within a fucking half an hour, all of a sudden, I get a text message from Chris, who is our homie Pell's manager. And he said, hey, I have Michael Christmas's manager's email. Do you want me to like plug you guys together? And I said, yeah, that would be fucking dope. And then he writes an intro email, and the next morning I wake up, and at about 8:15 in the morning, I'm like typing this very formal email trying to kind of sell ourselves to him and his artist as like, you know, fuck with us because this is cool shit, da-da-da-da-da. And as I'm typing that, I get a message that says, hey, you know, nice to finally meet you. I've been wanting to get Michael Christmas on the show forever. I'm a big fan. I watched the Father video 15 times, and I said, thank God I can scrap this formal email that I was typing to you and we can just fucking bullshit. So here's my number. And it was all very serendipitous. And then we fucking hooked up this episode and it's great. Michael Christmas is a lot of fun to talk to. He's a young dude. And I feel like if you guys are going to get behind anybody, it's going to be this guy. I think he's right in all of our listeners' wheelbox. He's entertaining. He's an underdog. He's got bars. He's a character. And you'll see through this podcast that he's a character. He's got a lot of shit to say for a 20-year-old. And then you'll see in the video that he's an entertaining musician and he's just got a great sound. So without further ado, we'll get into our conversation with Michael Christmas. And again, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all you guys. Fucking L'chaim. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year's. If I don't talk to you guys after that, I don't think we're going to put out a New Year's episode. We shall see. But yeah, thank you guys for all your support. And we look forward to more years of doing this shit with you guys. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Michael Christmas. You just moved to LA?
Just moved to LA, like a month ago.
A month ago.
About a week ago.
How do you like it?
I fucking love it.
Are you mobile? Do you have a car?
I don't, but my roommate has a whip. And yeah. Tim has a whip. And I don't really need to go anywhere anyway.
Why don't you need to go anywhere?
I mean, when I'm not in, I just sit in the house and write all day / listen to music and stare at the internet. And then when I do need to go out, somebody will take me.
Yeah.
I'll get there. But I just like go to the studio and shit. I don't really.
To be young again.
I've been to like fucking 3 parties since I got here, and like one of them was kind of good.
Which party was good?
It was like a big ass mansion party. And it was good because like.
Was that the one that you posted on your Instagram where you're like standing at a pool?
Yeah, that's that house. Yeah. That wasn't the party though. Oh, but okay. The party was, I just came from like the FK Twigs show. So this was like a weird day because I was sick. So everything was shitty. But as far as the events of that day, it was a great fucking day.
What happened?
Studio session went really well.
With who?
Truth Studios.
Okay.
Then I went to FK Twigs show with like Mac and DJ Clockwork and Josh Berg. And
where
that
was
shit
that
was
at?
Lit. Where was that? The Regent?
Okay.
Yeah, that shit was great. Robert Pattinson
with
was backstage.
Mac Miller.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're like rubbing elbows with important people while you're here. Right?
He's a foolish. He's a fool. We stood out like in that whole group because like imagine like FK Twigs show, everybody's like really clean and looks cool. And
we're
just there like as soon as Young Thug comes on, turn the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so. But so we did that, and then right after that, everybody else I knew was at this party.
Yeah.
And so.
Whose mansion was it? Drop names.
Shit, I don't. This dude named Jeremy. It's his big ass house.
Yeah.
It's just a big ass house.
It was overlooking all of the hills.
Yeah, it was crazy. But so we pull up, and I get to the front, and there's a security dude, so that's how I knew this was serious. I was like, am I even, I'm underdressed.
Yeah.
But I talked to him, and I was like, yeah, I'm about to go up. He's like, yo, the ratio. I'm like, word? And he's like, and it's not like just girls. It's like models and everybody else. That's great news. But to me, that's awful news because that means I'm not getting nobody that night.
Nah,
that means I'm going to just look.
No, that's not true because women fall in love with their ears and men fall in love with their eyes. You know what I'm saying? So like all you got to do is talk a good game. They don't care.
Yeah, I don't have that. I'm like, I really think I'm Michael Cera. Like I'll really walk up like, hi.
Yeah.
I like. Your scarf.
Well, why are you so good at talking right now? You're so comfortable all of a sudden.
This is as this room has wood grain walls.
Yeah.
I feel like that 70s show.
Okay.
I feel like we need one more person on this side and we need the camera.
The camera circulating around the smoky room.
Stupid faded.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying if you just fucking talk to girls how you're talking right now, you'll be fine, man. You already won my heart. You've already won my heart.
Nah, it was lit though, because like I started playing this game with my boy OG and Tim where we were guessing how many Instagram followers Each girl had. Yeah. And it's like a girl walk by and I'm like, all right, 30,000.
Yeah.
Nah, that's like 200,000. Yeah, and then there'd be like a 200 follower low key ass girl. Like she's just not there yet.
Well, and then you know if she's fine, but she also has like a full sleeve of tattoos, that's an extra 100,000. You know
easily,
I mean?
Yeah. At least.
That's a handicap that just adds an extra.
And then you
got to
think about like who's on here being art versus who's on here being a thirst trap. It was a fun game to play. It was really fun. And then they had like NBA Showtime arcade style, like in the corner. So me and
what if you got in there and it was all just WNBA women though?
I'm not really into tall girls, but it's like I like Lisa Leslie. Like I don't care what nobody say. Like I like Lisa Leslie. You feel me? And what's that other girl's name that's like really really fun?
I have no idea.
Skylar Diggins. Oh man.
Yeah. I'll have to look her up.
You don't. I've never seen. Who's not Drake's? Everybody's Drake's.
You're having a good time in LA, it sounds like.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to have to get a job or anything? You're just going to be able to live off this music shit for a while?
I mean, that is my job right now. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like I came. The reason for coming out here was to make music.
And you came out here from Boston?
From Boston.
Is that where you're born and bred?
Mm hmm. Roxbury.
Tell me about Boston. I know nothing. That's one of the few major cities in the country that I've never visited.
It's a weird place. It's my favorite city.
Yeah,
I've been to, and I'm from there, so obviously I'm biased, but I love it. All my friends are there, and like it's kind of like nobody outside of Boston knows what's going on, but we're now starting to have this small group of people that just get it, and they're young, and they want it. They want Boston to come up and shit, and we've been like under pressure from like all of these old Boston rappers forever. And yeah, they've like kind of been like not holding us back, but just not pushing us forward either. And now we're starting to understand like what it takes to get out of Boston and what it takes to get further in the world and have the world have attention on us. But like as far as like the city itself, like I didn't go out much until I was like 17.
Why?
I didn't really have friends. I jumped around schools my whole life from like I've been to like 8 schools.
Why?
Most of my first schools got shut down. Like K-1 to first grade, that school got shut down. Money issues, probably. And then from like first grade to third grade, that school got shut down. I went to a public school. They had to take me out of that shit because I was getting in trouble every day.
So were the first two schools private schools?
Yeah, every school was private school except for like third or fourth grade and then first high school.
Why private schools?
My family, like my dad was really in it. Like he is always been really in it. So he knows what that shit was all like. And my mom too. So they didn't want me in that. But the funny thing about
what do you mean he was in it?
Like the dangerous Boston shit that happens.
So he was
he's in the hood. Essentially he's in the hood
much. So
like from like youth. And so like they didn't want me in that. But what's funny about going to a private school is every other hood parent feels the same way. So
you're
every
hood
kid
kids.
Is getting sent to these private schools anyway. So it's like you're really not getting away from any. It's just like putting like a bunch of hood kids in a school with a bunch of kids from like outside of Boston towns like that aren't used to being around these kids. And it was really funny. But like, I wasn't able to get friends because I was leaving school so much. They was closing down my schools. I was getting kicked out.
So that goes to a question I have about Boston. I've always heard that it's like a pretty racist city for one.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always heard that it's kind of like pretty segregated as far as like, this is a white neighborhood, this is a black neighborhood type of shit. Is that true or do I have the wrong impression?
I've never had to deal with racism in Boston. And a lot of people who go to Boston or are from Boston tell me they have.
Yeah.
But I've never had to deal with that. However, there's also a lot of places I don't go.
Right.
I don't go to Southie.
Uh-huh.
I don't go to West Roxbury. I don't go to Newton. I'd be in Roxbury, Dorchester, and then like that whole Mass Ave Copley area where like
there's
all the stores and shit.
Is
that's
Roxbury where you grew up?
Roxbury is where I grew up. I grew up on Warren Street.
What's that neighborhood about?
So me and my boy Stiz talk about this a lot because we argue about Roxbury and Dorchester. He's from Dorchester. I'm from Roxbury.
Uh-huh.
Roxbury is synonymous with shooting. They shoot. They don't fight. Like in Dorchester, they still fight. They shoot too, but they still fight. Roxbury, they shoot. That's what they do.
Wow.
There's a lot of shooters in Roxbury. Roxbury and Dorchester and Mattapan are like the three like bad places in Boston or whatever. But like I never dealt with any trouble just because like my whole life, when I was out the house, which is very rare in Roxbury, everybody's like, oh, that's Jermaine's son.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's Jerry's grandson.
Uh-huh.
So everybody knew, like, we had me and my father had
so
the
your
same
dad,
face.
So your dad was, like, thorough in the hood, basically, and people knew who you were because of
that? According to the hood, I don't know too much about his whole life, and he wouldn't tell me.
Yeah.
But he will one day, and it's going to be a really interesting conversation. I'm really excited to learn about him.
Well, so what did you grow up hearing that your dad does? Meaning, like, how did your dad tell you he kept a roof over you?
You know what it is? Yeah. It's a no. He had a job too. He's okay. always had a job.
Okay.
He's always had a job.
Yeah, yeah.
He worked at the same place from like the year I was born to like the year he went to jail.
Okay.
Which is like 2012. So he's always had.
Oh, so he's in jail right now?
No, he's out of jail. Oh, he's out of jail. He got out 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Did your folks stay together?
No. They actually broke up like when I was born.
Okay.
Not because of me, though. According to them, I don't believe that shit. I think they seen a little dark-skinned baby, and they was like, what is this? My mom's like, your color.
Really?
She's Puerto Rican.
Oh, no shit.
Nah, but nah, that's not why. But they did. They broke up when I was born around that time.
Yeah, yeah. But dad stayed around in your life, and you did
my dad is easily the closest person in my life to me. I live with my mom my whole life. There was a couple times I had to go stay with my dad.
Yeah.
Because my mom had to get her shit together, but like, I've lived with my mom my whole life. But my dad is like, everything, my whole sense of humor, like the dark humor shit and like my whole personality once I started to have one, I got it from my dad because once I got to like my teenage years, I started to see what he was, which was like this fucking god to all these other people. Like every time somebody come around, like my aunts had boyfriends and shit that would come and just play Madden with him.
Yeah, so like he's like a charming hours. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was less awkward and more beautiful, I'd be my dad.
So your dad is like the center of his social circle. People kind of rotate around him like he's the sun, baby. Yeah.
And it's kind of like that for me now. And he loves it and he hates it. He hates people come up to him like, your Christmas is dead.
Yeah.
He actually told me last night, I had a show in Boston like a week or two ago. Uh-huh. And somebody came up to him and was like, so what's it like to be Michael Christmas is dead? And he was like, I don't know. I'm not Christmas's dad. I don't think Christmas has a dad. I'm like, Lindsay's dad.
Oh,
and I'll tell you that he ain't shit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So then what did mom do?
She also had a bunch of jobs, and she just graduated, actually, college.
Nice.
Like, pretty recently. And she actually just got this job that – what's funny is she got the job right around the time she graduated and completely not – because she graduated and the job was the job she was going to school to try and get.
Yeah.
I was like, do you even need to finish now? She's like, yeah, I mean, why the fuck not?
Right.
You know, I've been doing school for so long. So yeah, she just worked a lot.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of different times where like shit was really bad and there was a lot of times where shit was really good. Like there was times where we would have to like go stay with other family because like we just couldn't keep the place we were living in.
Right.
So I lived on Warren Street my whole life because when I couldn't stay there because my mom couldn't live there, I would go stay with my grandmother who lived in the same building. Like we've been all around that one building for like 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. What is the big thing that people do in Boston? Like, is there, like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the economy based around there?
I don't even know.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's really weird. And I always talk about this because, like, I don't, like I said, I wasn't really in Boston like that until I was like 17. And I got into the whole shit because literally one day I was like, all right, I've been writing raps for years. I think now is the time to come out and be a rapper.
Yeah.
What's my name going to be? I was like 16 or 17. I was going to be Michael Christmas.
Yeah.
I made that shit up in like 10 minutes, like within 10 minutes of me starting to get my
Where
name.
Where did that come from?
I was like, I need something that's hilarious, but also unforgettable. And when my music comes out and they see that it's not a joke, they're like, oh shit, Michael Christmas.
What yeah, I can't lie. Know? It stuck with me. Like when I saw the Michael Cera video last October, I think. So like a year and some change ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, instantaneously, I'm not going to lie. I looked at you and I went, oh, this guy looks like a joker. He looks like a joker. But then you started rapping. I was like, oh, he's actually fucking got bars.
Because I was doing bars before I was doing my own personality in music. Like I didn't.
Yeah.
I was just trying to rap like my favorite rappers. And then I realized like all my favorite rappers are really cool and I'm not that cool.
Well, it stuck with me too because you applied this underdog persona to yourself and people like to root for an underdog.
I just more accepted it. I like because of school and not having friends outside of school.
Yeah,
I always felt like nobody got me because nobody got me. Everybody looked at me like I was crazy. Like,
right.
I remember trying to put a bunch of kids on a Lil B my last year in high school, and I did because like everybody in my high school was bumping French Montana.
Yeah,
all day, every day, religiously, like every day.
That
and they're
it.
Like, "What are you listening to?" And I'm like, "The Bass God." And they're like, "Isn't he gay?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not. Don't say that." But I'm like so positive about it. I won't be like, I won't fight him on you. I'll just be like, all right, you know, listen to him. And then by the end of the year, I had
somebody
like six
little,
kids
Little
cooking.
B, I don't think is somebody that you can convince people to like. Either they get it or they don't, kind of.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying is I converted like six people, which is a lot when you consider I had zero friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So I converted six strangers.
Yeah.
They'll see me in the halls by like December and they're just cooking.
Let's go back farther because we got an hour to do this. So let's go back to the elementary school thing. I find that dynamic interesting that you're saying you're around a bunch of other young kids whose parents may have been, you know, thorough in whatever they're doing. And so they're trying to get their kids away from the hood in these private schools. So did you instantly find yourself being like, oh, I don't relate to these kids? Or like, did you purposely pull yourself away from that?
It was weird. It was like one of those things where like some days the teachers would call my parents and be like, Michael's talking way too much. And some days they'll call my parents and be like, Michael hasn't said a word in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And we don't know what's going on with him. And it was shit like that. I was getting in trouble a lot, too.
Do you remember that stuff, though? Like, do you remember what was going through your head?
You know what's really crazy? I do, but I don't remember what was going through my head at all.
Yeah.
I was just, I feel like I daydreamed up until fifth grade every day, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't pay attention. I was, like, the last person to learn how to read in my school, but then the first person to read, like, a full book.
Right, right.
It was my whole upbringing, it was super weird. I remember, like, being forced to read the newspaper. That was, like, punishment for me from my dad.
Uh-huh.
He was like, oh, well, read the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at shit and be like, what was this about?
Right.
And so, like, it was weird. School was weird for me. And I found out like a couple years ago that I was actually a bad kid. I was always like, I'm a fucking angel. I've never been suspended, never been expelled. Then I realized like that was because my dad was my lawyer when I was a kid. Like I cut this kid's finger by accident.
Yeah.
It was not allegedly. It was by accident. Because he cut my name tag and he had the scissors in his hand and he was smiling at me. It was my best friend. And so I was like, all right. So I waited about 10 minutes, grabbed my scissors, and I dove the shits at his name tag.
Oh, and he
put
to
his
it.
Hand in front of it, and I just cut like right through his thumb.
Ugh.
Not off though, like it was like the middle. Yeah. It was fucked up. Blood was squirting out. Everything was going in slow motion. I felt like a fucking murderer. Like I was like, what did I do? It's over. I'm going to jail forever.
Yeah.
And so my dad came to the school and just put the best rap together. Like he was talking to them, like, listen, no, you know, they're friends. They sit with each other every day.
Yeah.
He would never do that. Think about what it'll do to him.
He's like, do you have DNA evidence of this?
Right. He's
if
like,
the
he
glove
was like,
does not fit. You
he was
must
like,
acquit.
Think about what it'll do to him if he thinks he's a criminal now.
Right.
In first grade.
Oh wow.
Think about
yeah,
what that.
Like, think about
then
the
he
prison
went to the
industrial
parents.
Complex and
right,
how hard
exactly.
it is to pull
think
out
about
of
how
that.
Hard it is for a young black youth.
Yeah.
To get kicked out of school in first grade for a crime,
wow.
And then like he went to the parents. He knew the kid's dad. He's like, listen, you know, fucking. So now the kid's parents are coming to the school. Like, he would never do something to that. Like,
right.
My son, I see them
leave
together.
Michael Lindsay alone.
It was crazy.
Yeah,
like, I was getting out of shit like that all the time. I thought I just wasn't getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Found out, no, I was getting in trouble a lot.
Wow.
Apparently, I challenged this kid to a game called the slap game in second grade.
Ooh.
And it's where you slap each other until somebody gives up. And I was like, yo, you want to play the slap game? He was like, yeah. I slapped the shit out of him, and I was like, I don't want to play anymore. And the principal seen this shit from the window.
Oh, God.
Like, she was literally looking out the window as this was happening. Yeah. Came outside. I didn't even get in the school before I got sent home.
So when you go to the public school, is it kind of a culture shock?
It wasn't that much different. I got to wear whatever I wanted, which wasn't shit at the time. But, like, just not having to wear a uniform. I was wearing ties a lot. And But I was getting in trouble all the time because I was new.
Uh-huh.
And most of these kids, I was in, like, third or fourth grade. And these kids had been together for, like, 2-3 years. And I was new. And so they didn't like me, and I didn't like them.
Yeah.
And I remember this one kid came up to my mom one day and was like, I'm going to beat your son up.
A kid came up to your mom and said
that? Came up to my mom, and I was right there, and we ended up, like, fucking, like, tussling, not even fighting, just, like, pushing. And then my mom just pulled me out of there. And then she stopped sending me to school after that because she was like, damn, it's just, like, getting in trouble, like, every day.
She stopped sending you to
school?
Stopped
sending me to school.
What
and then,
mean?
Like, truancy, like, stopped sending me, like, stopped letting me go there.
Yeah.
And so truancy police came, and they were like, he has to do something.
Yeah.
And so we just found a new school.
How old were you at that point?
I'm not sure. Whatever fourth grade is.
Oh, fourth grade's like 10, 11.
Something like that.
That's crazy. So, well, like at the private schools, what would you say like the socioeconomic dynamic was? Like, was it mostly whites, mostly blacks, a big mixture?
It was a big mixture.
Yeah.
And
then what was public school like then?
The same, but it was like way more Spanish kids. I was going to school at this school called the Hennigan in this place called Jamaica Plains.
Okay.
And that's like a very, very predominantly Spanish area.
Yeah.
So it was mostly Spanish kids, but I'm half Puerto Rican. It wasn't like.
Yeah. Did you learn to speak Spanish as well then?
A little bit, not because of the public school, just because of my mom.
Yeah, that's what I figured,
because
of your mom. Yeah.
Like I just know if she yelled it at me, then I knew it was some bad shit, so I could yell it at somebody else.
Yeah.
And other than that, I know a little bit. I've been to Puerto Rico a couple times with my family. Funniest shit, I went to Puerto Rico the first time when I was like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
I didn't know that places spoke English. I didn't know that. So I was in the Walmart. You know, the Walmart sometimes had a little McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah.
I go to get in line at the McDonald's, and I'm by myself. My grandmother's shopping. So I'm like, all right, I got to figure out how to say what I want in Spanish because they don't know English and they're not going to understand
You're like, El Grande
I'm
Maque.
Like, dame un número uno, por favor.
Yeah.
And that's how I ordered. And the dude was like, just nodded his head, took my money, gave me my change, whatever. I get out the line. Next person comes up. Can I get a Big Mac, no fries, no drink? And he's like, certainly. I'm like, yo, like you knew I didn't speak Spanish. Like you could see it all in my nervous face. Yeah, I was like sweating and anxious, like shit. All right, it's my turn.
Yeah.
And then this dude speaks English. I was tight about that shit.
That's funny.
That shit really made me mad. But that also taught me people in Puerto Rico do know some English.
Yeah. Are you close to both sides of your family?
Yeah, there's a lot less family, like a lot less people in general on my mom's side. There's just like my grandmother, like the four uncles, one of them passed away a couple of years ago, and my mom. And that's like really it.
And then so on the my rest dad's of her side, family there's is like, still in Puerto Rico though? Like her parents? And
yeah,
stuff?
Like, well, her father, I never met her father. I don't even know if she met her father. But my grandmother and two of my uncles live in Puerto Rico.
How did she end up in Boston?
She was born here. It's weird. Her mom like kind of left her in Boston when she was 16.
Wow.
Like moved back to Puerto Rico. So my mom kept the crib.
Yeah.
And she was
and
like
just
having
had to
my,
fend for herself.
Exactly. She was like basically raising everybody in the house though by herself since she was
so
like
raising her brothers.
A kid. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
really
then her
wild.
Mom dipped.
Yeah. She left when, but she took like the boys with her.
Oh, okay.
And left my
so
mom
your mom
here.
Was just in the States by herself at 16.
Yeah.
Has she told you like how did she get by? What was she doing?
She was working. She had a job and she was going to school.
Yeah.
And I think my dad helped a lot and my dad's family
how
helped a lot.
How old was she when she had you?
20.
Wow. So you know what's funny? I'm closer to your parents' age than I am to your age.
That's how
yeah, I know
my
I'm getting old in the music world.
She might have been 21. My dad's, I think, 43 or 42, and my mom's like 41.
Yeah, so I am. I'm closer to their age than your age. That's hilarious. Yeah.
But they're young, and that's why I was able to get away with a lot of things, as well as like listen to the stuff I was listening to growing up.
I was going
to
say, it must be, I mean, like your dad probably has similar music taste to what I listen to, you know what I mean, or what I grew up listening to. So
well, right now, he's into like
the same thing I
he's like. Into rap now. Like,
yeah.
His favorite rapper is like, when I was starting to get into music for myself, was like Kool Kids, Asher Roth, Dom Kennedy.
That was
still,
his shit when you were
still,
getting music.
Exactly.
Wow.
Well, I put him on, but then it became like his shit. Like he was in jail. He told me he was in jail trying to put people onto Michael Rocks and Kool Kids and Dom Kennedy, and they're all throwing 2 Chainz and Keith down his neck. And I love Keith. Keith's my favorite rapper, but he was in there just like every day, just banging 2 Chainz, and he's like, nah, you gotta fuck with this.
Well, what did you grow up listening to from him?
From him, he put me on, I remember after How High came out, I was like, how come Redman and Method Man don't have that much music? And that's because I didn't know about the internet, nor did I know about their history. And he was like, I'll show you some.
Yeah.
And then he put me on the Wu-Tang, put me on the Redman, put me on the Method Man, he put me on everybody's shit. And he was like trying to change my whole musical mind because as a kid, I was always ready to get in trouble. Everything I did got me in trouble. So I grabbed his iPod one day, like the first iPod, and started listening to music on his shit. And I was like, all right, what's wholesome on here? What will I not get in trouble for listening to?
Yeah.
And I ended up listening to Lauryn Hill, and he was making fun of me, not because I was listening to Lauryn Hill, but because he knew that I was doing that to not get in trouble. And he's like, listen to whatever you want to listen to.
Yeah.
He's like, here. And he just gave me his iPod for a few days, and I started listening to, like, Guns N' Roses and, like, all this old hip-hop shit. I got real into N.W.A. in, like, 8th grade.
Really?
Yeah, I was fucking pumped off N.W.A.
That's funny, dude. N.W.A. was, like, dropping when I was in 4th grade, and we used to sneak to our friend Richard's house because his mom had the tape of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, she was a thug.
She was. Well, you know what? Richard was half black and half white. His mom was white, but, like, was clearly a white woman who had only ever dated black men.
Yeah.
And so she, you know what I'm saying? So she had fucking hella gangster rap, and so we would go to Richard's house and listen to the N.W.A. tape, and we just were, like, couldn't believe it. We thought we were so badass, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, that shit made me walk different, like, when I started listening to N.W.A. Like, I'll punch anybody in their face. I've never been in a fight, by the way.
Yeah, I've not been in very many fights either. I've only punched somebody in the face one time.
I've only been punched in the face one time. It was by a girl.
How was it?
It didn't hurt that bad. It did hurt, though. And allegedly, I deserved it because she was in a headlock.
Why was she in a headlock?
Because she was just wild, and she was it was all playful.
I don't
want
to talk about any of your
fucking
domestic abuse.
No, it was all playful as shit until she punched me in the face, and then I was like, what? That's never happened before. And then we just went on with our day. Like, all right, I just got punched in my... I called my mom, though. Because my mom knows her. I was like, Ma.
You said, Mom, you better come get this bitch.
She punched me in my face. What do I do? She said, tell her not to put her hands on my baby.
Oh, shit.
I was like, no, you're not understanding. She already did. We're past that step. What do we do now?
So when you're in fourth grade and your mom takes you out of school and the truancy officers come, what is the decision? What do you have to do?
We just found a new private school.
So you jumped around to another school?
Tossed me in
there. Oh, a private school.
Just for like the last couple months. And then the next year I ended up at the school that I stayed at for 3 years. And that's where I started to have friends. That's also where I learned how to rap.
Okay. So you're starting to learn to rap in like junior high-ish?
Seventh grade? Yep.
And what were the friends that you took to? Like what kind of guys were they?
It's really funny. My first day of school, it felt like in fifth grade, it felt like one of those movies. Like, it felt like a movie.
Uh-huh.
I get in there, and there's kids running around everywhere, and I'm just looking around nervous and shit. And then this real short kid who was in my, who I learned was in my class named Alex, he comes up to me. He's like, you knew? And I was like, yeah. He's like, ah, I'm going to show you around, show you everything. I'm like, bet. I feel like I'm being taken under this little guy's wing.
Yeah.
And he basically showed me everything first day. He's like, this is what we do here. This is what we do here. This is boom, boom, boom. This is everybody. And we go to lunch, and that's when I started to learn everything for real. He was like, so we just sit here and talk shit.
Yeah.
He was like, we just sit here and roast each other for the whole lunch period. And I was an experienced roaster because of my father. He is roast king. He'll really kill you off.
Yeah, he's good playing the dozens and shit.
Like, he chaperoned a field trip, and one of my boys, Malik, he put this other kid in a headlock just fucking around. And my boy Malik was like, don't do that to me. And he was like, nah, you got a big ass head. I might get hurt or something. Like, and that's somebody's kid.
So we was
good at talking shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like my first social interaction with other kids was like
just roasting
literally people. Just roasting other kids. Like, it was crazy. And so that turned into the next year. I felt cool. You know, I felt like I had friends. I felt established at this school.
Yeah.
And then seventh grade, I started this after school program that was literally across the street. And after like the third week, they were like, we have these little mini clubs in the shit. You can play ball.
It's like a youth center type thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all the people that ran it were really young, and they were from the neighborhood too. It was Mission. So they set up a recording studio upstairs and then a little lab with laptops. And so we basically learned how to use Reason. And I wanted to make beats. I didn't want to rap, but you had to do both. So one day they're like, all right, if you want to be in this club next year, you have to do both things at least once, so you have to write a song. So I produced it, wrote the song. My rapper at that time was Soulja Boy. I was him as far as I was concerned.
Oh, that was your favorite rapper at the time?
Oh my god. Not even favorite, like it was like bigger than favorite rapper. Like I was a stan. Like I was trying to buy fake Bape hoodies and all types of crazy shit. And so I went in.
What era of Soulja Boy was this? It was
the beginning. The very, very beginning. Like, just got my report card and, y'all, bitch, y'all.
Okay, that shit. Yeah, yeah.
And I was just getting the internet, too. So I made a beat and I wrote the song that night, came back to school. I was spitting it for my friends all day. Like, yo, this is what I'm going to do today.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to record it. And it was like, then the next man, fly then the next man. Yup. And that was the hook.
Whoa.
And we didn't know that you couldn't like have two people in the booth recording the same time.
Yeah.
So my boy Malik came in. He was doing the yup while I was recording. And we only had like one vocal track through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there trying to keep my breath so I could do hook, verse, hook, verse. It was wild.
Wow.
But like as soon as I came out and the engineer played it for me, I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is my voice.
And
this
Michael Christmas is born.
Nah, there was a lot of rap names before Michael Christmas.
What was your first rap name?
Oh, what was my first rap name? I think it has something to do with Jeff Spicoli.
Really? That's a very rare reference.
I was watching movies young.
Yeah, that's a very rare reference. Jeff Spicoli's the man, though.
He is the man.
Yeah, that's
great. I had a lot of rap groups, too. Yeah. It was Mars at one point. I don't remember what that stood for.
Well, going back to NWA, my first rap name in seventh grade was Easy Lee. I was in a group called Easy Lee and Richie Rich.
Oh, y'all were lit. Oh, yo,
we're out here. I've told this story a million times, but we won a competition for writing the best anti-smoking song in the city, and we won some like Wendy's coupons for doing that. We were like, yo, we made it.
Nah, you did that.
Yeah.
I remember my freshman year, the chemistry teacher had like a blue microphone, like the snowball joint, and he had Audacity on all of his laptops in the lab, and he knew I rapped and shit, so he was like, if you want to record, just come in during lunch.
Or what class was this?
He had chemistry.
Oh, chemistry class.
He taught chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, just go in the little chemistry, like the little closet where he kept all the shits.
Yeah.
And just to bring the laptop in there and you can record during lunch.
That's insane. Teachers nowadays are way fucking cooler than my teachers were.
Yeah. Well, see, I only had like four cool teachers in my life.
Yeah.
Out of all the schools I went to, like no teachers like
me. That's still a pretty good ratio.
Teachers hated me. And they hated me because at one point I was way too smart.
Yeah.
And I was correcting everybody and like I was telling teachers, like, nope, you wrong.
Yep. And then I went through that phase as well.
And then at one point, I was just annoying. Like, I was just talking shit in classes. Yep. And it was different little things. But he let me record in there. I remember I recorded some J Electronica shit, I think Exhibit C or Exhibit B in the closet. And, like, kids in the classroom were like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, you're going too hard.
Wow.
And we're just sitting here trying to study.
Yeah. And you're in the
back. And I'm like,
room
I got to do this.
Wow.
It was so lit.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I have a tie on and my fucking gray school pants and my shoes.
That's crazy. So it's like this mixture of fucking Fresh Prince of Bel Air mm-hmm. slash 8 Mile in the back of the chemistry
class.
That's
exactly what
you
it
were
was.
Crushing.
We started a little group. And we had a show. They were doing like a school play, and I asked if we could open.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, why not? They didn't even move the curtain. We rapped in front of the curtain.
Yeah.
So I came up, I wrote the hook, and I wrote a verse, and then it was a girl. She put a verse on it, and this other dude, he was like a senior, put a verse on it. And I went up, spit the hook, spit my verse. Girl comes up, didn't even get a word out. Didn't get one word out. She forgot her shit immediately.
Oh, shit.
So I just kind of hyped up everybody.
Did people start going, freestyle?
Nah, I was just hyping everybody up until we got to the hook again because it was 8-bar verses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the next dude came up. He got his first 2 bars off, and then he forgot his shit too. So embarrassed. I was so mad. Like, you
so
don't
you're
understand.
The only one that remembered your shit?
Mm. Yeah, I was the rapper.
A bunch of amateurs. Man.
That's how I felt too. I was real diva about it.
Yeah, you're like, you guys
like, y'all need to hold y'all shit together. All right, this is for all of us. This isn't just for me. This isn't about me. This is about us.
This is bigger than me, man.
This is our trip out of here. Yo, exactly. Yeah. Like, what if somebody was in the audience? awesome shit.
What if there was A&Rs out there?
That shit was fun.
That's
that
too
was
much.
A fun time.
And that was in seventh grade?
Seventh grade.
Man, you were fucking
I had a different way of recording. Every time I was in a point where I was recording before I took shit seriously. Like, seventh grade, I'm recording it after school.
Yeah.
Freshman year, I'm recording in the school. And then sophomore year, I'm skipping school to go record at this fucking creepy dude's house in this, like, neighborhood I'm hella not from.
Really?
But he was a rapper, and he had free time. I was like, let's do it.
Like, creepy dude, how old was he?
He was, like, 20 when I was, like, 15 or 14.
Yeah, yeah. Not that creepy.
Type shit. Yeah, not. Yeah, he just looked creepy. Like, he had tattoos, and he was a white dude, and he was 20, and I'm young.
Yeah.
And I haven't been to this neighborhood. I don't be out here like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was weird.
He's like, yeah, you can record here, but first you got to get this swastika tattooed on you. Like, what?
It was hella sus.
Man, that's crazy. So it sounds like you started so young that you never even really had a chance to get into anything
else.
I knew
exactly
what
I wanted
to
do from seventh grade on.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, like, I remember my career choices before that were all based on my first career choices was doctor and lawyer when I was a kid because I told my mother I was going to buy her a house. We was in this janky-ass apartment.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I want a house. And I was like, I'll get you a house.
Yeah.
Like, one day I'm going to be rich. Because when I was a kid, I thought the world revolved around me.
Yeah.
And my only destiny was to be the richest
yeah.
and the most famous for some reason. Because that's what all kids think.
Yeah, kids do think that.
And I don't know how I was supposed to be fucking famous as a lawyer doctor.
Yeah.
But I was going to do it, and I was going to get this money and buy this house.
Well, you could have been the first and only lawyer doctor.
Lawyer doctor.
That sounds like
shit.
A TV show.
Like an Adult Swim show, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to be a journalist because I read some book about this girl who was like a journalist when I was in like fourth or fifth grade. And that's what I wanted to do. I want to be an investigative journalist. And then I started rapping in seventh grade and all them dreams went out the window.
You never had any like sports hobbies, no video mm-hmm. game addiction,
oh, hell
comic
yeah.
books, like what?
Absolutely. But the thing about my video game addiction was like other kids be addicted to video games and get good at them.
Yeah.
I just was addicted to video games until my friends came over and whooped my ass.
Right.
Because I'll play on easy. Like, I want to whoop everybody's ass. I don't want to learn the game and I don't want to figure out how to do
shit. So you're playing
shit.
Madden and beating teams like fucking 120
exactly,
to 2.
Exactly. Until shit got competitive around the time that my father stopped not talking shit while we played Madden.
Uh-huh.
My father started getting real, like,
serious.
Real about it. Like, you're fucking trash and all this shit. And I was like, all right, nigga. So I took a couple years to learn Madden. And when I beat him, that was, like, one of the crowning achievements in my life.
Because
he's
so
a great Madden player. Like, he was low-key, like, good enough to play on, like, that Madden series.
Yeah.
Where they had people come out, like, the tournaments.
Yeah.
He was, like, good like that. He just didn't have time.
Right,
was,
right.
Like, Madden was a hobby. He was just great.
I feel like this is a huge fucking sign of generational things changing. Because it was, like, a big deal when I was able to finally score a basket on my father.
Mm-hmm.
In real life.
In real
but
life,
But I've never played a video game with my dad once, I don't think, in my whole life.
Yeah.
And, like, you're like, oh, yeah, the day that I fucking beat my
dad.
Madden
shit got real. He passed the torch to like me and my cousin, and my cousin's still very, very slightly better than me.
Uh-huh.
And if I wish I had more time to play right now, because I'd be I'm going back to Boston tomorrow, and I'm going to have to play him during my time there, and I'm probably not going to win.
Was it all sports games that you were playing, or was it?
No, it was only sports games when I got mad about that Madden shit. Yeah. It was like Grand Theft Autos, Jack and Daxter. Def Jam 5 for New York's probably my favorite game of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because, like, rap was such a huge thing in my life, and is a game full of rappers.
Right.
And you get to fight with them, like, fighting rappers. I love rap. I need this game. I remember watching videos up to the lead up to that game, like, watching the videos and trailers online every day. And then my parents bought it for me, and I skipped school one day. That's the day after they bought it for me, I was like, I'm sick. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, like, Snoop is one of the hidden characters and shit.
Yeah, Snoop's, like the last boss. Yeah,
yeah. I remember. He was a suit. I actually played through that shit, too. Like, you can buy all kinds of fucking chains and tattoos
and
shit.
That game was great.
That game was tight. I got to give it up. I like that game. Like, David Banner was pretty good, I feel
David Banner, I'm from the M. Crooklet. Yo, he was so tight. And then Redman will be like, I'm gonna rip your tongue out and lick my ass with it.
Dude,
this is a video game.
Oh my God.
I'm a child. It was great.
That's hilarious. I remember playing that.
Yeah, that shit
But that was
lit.
Like when I was in college. So here's another generational difference. I love to obsess over these things because I'm obsessed over the fact that I'm getting old. But what was your first video game system? Because then I'll blow your mind with mine.
Okay, so I actually remember this, like remember opening it. Yeah. I got an Nintendo 64 for Christmas. I don't remember how old I was.
Oh, that's not that late in the game.
Exactly.
Like.
Yeah. And I got a Nintendo 64 for Christmas. It came with Donkey Kong 64. And I remember I wanted to play with all my toys, but I was also dumb tired.
Yeah.
And when I got tired as a kid, I would try my best to not go to sleep, but I'd also cry. Like pissed off, like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I want to do what I want to do.
Kids do that.
Kid, I was an annoying fucking
kid. I thought you were for sure going to be like, oh yeah, I got a fucking PlayStation 2 when I was in second grade.
Nah,
and I was gonna be like, fuck.
Nintendo 64.
My first video game system was an Atari XE. It was the last Atari that they made, and it came with like a keyboard and shit still. But that same year, all my friends were getting Nintendos.
Okay.
But we were like, that was the, like, I was in first grade, I think, when Nintendo came out. Like, that was it. It was
crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Times change fast.
Atari. I've never played an Atari.
Dog, oh man, they are something, I'll tell you. There's actually some games that have very good replay value. Like, I'll still play it today. It feels like you're playing on a big box at an arcade or something. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, it still works. They're tough machines.
Yeah, this is like my video game span was not. Like, PlayStation 2 was my video game time. Yeah.
Did you invest in like the PS4 or the Xbox One?
My stepdad, he's all about like technology. Like, that's his shit. Like, everybody has it. So he bought both.
Okay.
And
oh,
and he has them both sitting next to each other.
Does
under
he,
the TV.
He plays them a lot, or what?
He only plays the PlayStation.
Really?
I don't know why we have an Xbox. I'm the only one that plays the Xbox, and all I play is 2K.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
So your mom got remarried? Or got married?
Well, she never married my dad. Yeah, she got married when I was like 11, maybe.
How's
but
that?
She was with my stepdad since I was like 5.
Okay.
He's awesome. He took care of me a lot my whole life. Like, anything I need, he got me, and he's real supportive of everything I'm doing. They all are.
So you guys were always cool. It was never like evil stepdad type
shit. No, it was never no shit like that.
That's dope.
Like, at first I tried hard not to like him, and everybody knew I was trying hard not to like him, but like, nah, that's my nigga.
Yeah, that's cool.
I love him.
What's that dynamic like? Do you call him by his first name? You call him dad?
Nah, yeah. I call him by his first name. Yeah. But him and my dad are best friends.
Oh, really?
Isn't that weird?
That's fucking
my
weird.
My dad comes over and they play video games like weekly.
Yeah, that's real weird. But I mean, that seems dope at the same time.
It's awesome because like, imagine like,
it's like my two dads.
My dad comes in, my mom's mean to him, he's mean to her, and him and my stepdad laugh about it.
Yeah,
it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. That's great.
And they just compete. And me and my I have a stepbrother, too.
Yeah.
And me and my stepbrother just, like, cheer for our dads. Like, when they're playing video games, like, he'll be like, what did he say? My father lost, and my brother, he's, like, 16. He was probably 15 when this happened. He came in the room, and he's like, Jermaine, he's like, you need some tissue? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, some losing tissue? And I was like, what an awful joke, but like, it's such a good joke because like, he felt the need to come
right
talk
there.
Shit to somebody else. Like,
yeah.
You need some losing tissue. like, fuck you.
What's your younger brother into?
Cars.
Yeah?
He's all about cars. He's killing shit right now, too. Like I said, he's 16.
Like mechanic car shit?
Exactly, yeah. He wanted to be a street racer for the longest, and it took the longest time to get him out of that shit.
Yeah, well, kids
like,
that grew
realize
up
you can't do that as
kids
a job.
Kids that grow up as on fucking, you know, Tokyo Drifting and shit.
Fast and Furious.
He
knows everywhere to all of those
movies.
Wow, like, but he, right now, he goes to this school called Madison in Boston. It's a big public school, and they have an auto body type program, and he's in it, and he's killing shit. Apparently, like, if he keeps going the way he's going, they'll have like school or a job ready for him.
That's dope.
When he graduates, and he's like, he's doing it. He knows his shit.
That's really dope.
Yeah, so that's what he's on. That, and now for some reason this year he's into football. I think his girl might like football or something, because it doesn't make sense to me. He hated sports his whole life.
No shit.
Now he likes watching football.
So what happens in high school? You keep with the rap shit, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And does it start catching on?
No, because I didn't tell many people I rapped. Like, freshman year, I had a bigger group of friends than I probably ever had.
Are you making your own beats at this point still, or are you reaching out to people on the internet?
I quit making beats the day I recorded my first song.
So do you start,
writing.
Yeah.
Just writing. Like, I was writing over other people's, YouTube, everything.
Okay.
Like, I was writing over other people's songs, or, like, if I could find the instrumental, I was writing over that.
Yeah.
And how I started, like, recording as Michael Christmas, and the first time, I was like 16 or 17, and it was summer. I just got back from Virginia, took a trip with my uncle. And like I said, I wanted to be Michael Christmas. So I started a Facebook, started a Twitter, whatever.
Start branding yourself.
Exactly, as Michael Christmas. And so they had this thing called the Lyricist Lounge in Boston.
Yeah.
And I went, I didn't even have the beat ready.
That's like a big thing.
It's I was like, this sounds like something that's like real. And so I thought it was like a big deal. It was kind of big though. It was filled to
capacity. Well, Lyricist Lounge actually used to have a fucking TV show on MTV.
Really?
Yeah. There was a sketch show. It's before your time, but there's a sketch show on MTV called Lyricist Lounge. And like Mos Def would be on it, and Talib Kweli would be on it, and like Punchin' Words would be on it. Like a bunch of, you know, fairly reputed, Master Fool would be on there. A bunch of like legitimate rappers at the time. Yeah. It was cool.
That's
Common.
Tight.
Anyway.
Hey, Calm Sense.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, we did the Lyricist Lounge, and I made a song over all caps by Doom, and it was about this girl, and her like name had the word claw in it, so like I called it The Claw. And it was like, I had to spit it a cappella because I didn't have the beat on deck, but I just spit the whole thing in front of everybody. I didn't read. I memorized. It was the first time I ever memorized anything like that besides that high school performance. Yeah. And so I did it, and everybody was like, oh, that shit was crazy, blah, blah, blah. And somebody filmed it, put it on my Facebook. And what happened was my uncle's always had like a little studio in the basement or whatever at his spot. And he seen that and was like, all right, well, it looks like he's ready to start making his own music. So I want to have him come through and record or whatever. And so I just started going over there and recording over like mad YouTube instrumentals and shit, and put together this really crazy like mixtape called The Golden Toilet. Yeah.
It was all me
just like rapping over other beats. And
this is when you were what, 16 17?
16 17.
Yeah.
And yeah, I put that out. I think it's got like 25 downloads its first since till now, basically.
Well, now it's gonna get 25 million because of the influence of this show.
Well, no, so, it's not even up anymore. Like, my uncles took it down and shit. I asked them to, because it was like, it's not.
It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I appreciated it for what it was. I had like, it has a lot of shit that like turned into like my styles now. Like, I had a song on there called Sean Kemp.
Okay.
I had a song on there called George Jefferson. I was like, I think I'm
Sean
George
Kemp
Jefferson.
Is my dream champion jersey to find. Like, I want to get an old school green Sean Kemp jersey so bad.
Yeah.
But
my
hang on to those.
I think my boy has like an old school Sean Kemp reversible.
My two dream ones are like the champion jerseys of Sean Kemp and Clyde Drexler. But like, people hella hang on to those and they don't want to get rid of them.
My favorite player ever is Larry Johnson.
I have a Larry Johnson jersey. I have a size 48 Larry Johnson jersey. I wear it all the time.
Ignorant.
I wear that jersey so much that like people clown on me on my Instagram of like, why are you always wearing that jersey? So I love it. It's my favorite. Yeah,
nah, that's tight though. Larry Johnson is the shit.
You don't even know, dude. Like, when I was, okay, so in sixth grade, that's when the Charlotte Hornets became an expansion team.
Okay.
And they had Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, and Muggsy Bogues. And they had the illest colorway in the whole NBA.
Easily.
Like, dude, that in the 90s, the fucking teal and purple jump off, that was the illest colorway that you could have for an outfit already. And then the Charlotte Hornets did it, and it was like, oh, now it's an iller colorway.
I was really into like Charlotte Hornets colored shit like freshman and sophomore year until I found out that was like gang shit in Boston.
Oh, really?
And then I just stopped.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's like, I think that in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Michigan M is like another one. There's a bunch of them. There's a lot of shit you can't wear in Boston. I learned a lot of these shits while I was in high school. I had like this job that I had for a month because they had us knocking on doors in this area called Mission, which is a really bad neighborhood. It's where my dad's from. And so I went there and I had like a Pittsburgh hat on.
Oh, yeah. P's for Pyru out here, I think.
Yeah, that sounds, but I don't know what it's for in Boston. But yeah, so we're walking and they had us door knocking in the projects at 9 o'clock. And I'm a freshman in high school. And I had the pee hat on and I was with this dude who just worked with me. He's like, yo, take that hat off.
Yeah.
And I started laughing, like, what? And he's like, no, deadass, take that hat off. They'll shoot at you.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck. So I took the hat off, stuffed it in my bag. And that's when I started to ask around before I went and bought a hat. It was a fitted, yeah.
How do you get fitteds to fit your head?
And that's not, I didn't have
that's
hair
not even
like this.
That's, you got a lot even, of hair, and you got a big
I can't dome. Anymore, but yeah. I didn't have hair when I was a freshman. I started growing my hair,
okay,
like 3 years ago.
Yeah. What was the science behind that? You're just like, I
it was a lot of different factors. For one, I was tired of having short hair and a fade and no facial hair. Shit was annoying. I wanted to look savage.
Yeah.
And then, and then,
what did you used to do to like line it up real sharp and shit?
Yeah,
or,
clean
Caesar
ass fade,
or,
real clean.
Oh, fade. Yeah.
And but then like. Also, I started watching Walker, and Walker was banging his hair around.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I want to do that. That looks like mad fun.
Yeah.
And then I also just wanted to, like, be a Super Saiyan, so.
Okay, where?
Those were, like, a bunch of the things that made me grow my hair out. And then I stopped kind of, like, they closed my favorite barbershop down. Like, the barbershop I was going to from, like, birth till they closed it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'm not going somewhere else. I think I got one haircut after they closed my barbershop, and it was fucked up. And I was like, all right, I'm not. I'm just not doing this anymore.
Oh, man.
And they turned my barbershop into a fucking green tea stop.
Wow.
And all, and even worse is in Boston, we have these like signs.
That sounds very gentrified.
It is.
Yeah.
And in Boston, they have these signs for all, like, we have the red line, the orange line, and the green line for the trains.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign says green tea stop, like green train stop.
Yeah.
But it's green tea stop. I was so offended.
Oh, God.
Because this is where I go to watch Belly.
That's corny.
And softcore. Porn and magazines like King and shit, and play Game Boy while I get my hair cut.
Yeah.
And hear all like the wisdom that you pick up in a barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where you learn that you allegedly grow facial hair from eating pussy. Like, that's at the barbershop is where they teach you that. That's where everybody who's ever told me that said they learned that at a barbershop.
Man.
So, like,
I started losing my ability to even go to a barbershop when I was about your age, man. I started balding very early, so
hey, being
I'm jealous
bald is
of
gangster.
Clay.
Being bald is like the only other thing besides big hair that's cool, because like, what is having like just hair?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Well, now everybody has that same fuckboy haircut of like, you know, shave the sides up and then part it real sharp on the side. It's like, well, get out of here.
Like, who are you?
Yeah, that's like the, oh yeah, look at Ben's doing it to his hair right now. He's got
I apologize.
He got that fuckboy haircut. that's
the ponytail on top of the head is really funny.
Well, I didn't
a
let
lot
you finish your knocking door story. Was that like that was oh it was like don't wear
that was essentially
don't,
it don't
wear the
and
pee
that from then on
at.
I just started asking people like, can I wear this and where can I wear this and shit like that.
Yeah,
because like it was really crazy. I had a Michigan hoodie my sophomore year because I had just watched that Fab Five documentary.
That was a great documentary.
Yeah, well, amazing. So I immediately was like, I need one.
Yeah.
I bet you merch sales skyrocketed after that.
Well, you know, that was the team already. The Fab Five
Hell
was
yeah.
such a fucking thing, dude. Like,
I remember my dad had a lot of their shit. I didn't know if it was because he loved Michigan.
Yeah,
or if,
no, it was that was like the dope. That was like everybody that was into rap music used to wear Michigan shit back then. But also, like, dude, I remember the fucking timeout that they didn't have. Like, it was yesterday.
That
like, that
was
you
saw that live?
Oh, yeah. It was that was an event, dude. Like, that was the shit everyone was talking about the next day at school. Like, it's crazy, but yeah,
so sad to be Chris Webber.
Oh man, he was bummed.
Yeah,
he was fucking I mean, dude, you gotta think too, that like ruined, like that was like he was supposed to go number one. I don't even remember if he did, but like that was like ruining his chances of the NBA. People were like talking about like, oh my god, he's gonna get drafted so low now and da 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 da.
But it'll be crazy to see him get drafted low and still glow up though,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, he ended up having a great career and he's a good announcer now. So
I wore a Michigan hoodie to school and this kid came up the stairs like, yo, fuck them Michigan niggas, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
oh,
hey.
That's what it is.
All right, I'm not from there. I just fuck with Michigan.
Yeah.
All right, bet.
So we kind of talked about this earlier before we started the podcast, but I want to touch on it. Like, I mean, obviously you're not an overnight success because you started doing this very young and you've been working at it a long time.
Right.
But I think the big difference between now and then or now and like when I was trying to come up is like when you feel like you're ready to put something out.
Mm-hmm.
People can fucking see it now and like it can catch like the first thing that you want to like be seen for can be the thing that makes you go.
Exactly.
And so what was the first thing that you like put out with the intention of like, I want this to go?
Well, so I made the song daily
early
last year, and that ended up being my first video.
You have a video for it, and it's great.
And I remember I wrote that song for like a week. Like, it took me a week. I remember getting that beat, and it was hilarious. I was sitting there with Goodwin when he was making it, and I finally made the song. I think I spit it to Tim before I even, like, recorded it. And then when I recorded it, he was just nonstop listening to it.
Yeah.
He hit me like, we got to do it.
Tim is your manager who's sitting in the room with us.
Sitting right there.
Did you guys grow up together? Do you know each other before?
Nah, like, what did we meet, like, 2 years ago? We met,
two and a half years ago.
My boy OG Swaggerdick. He just brought me
OG
to the
Swaggerdick
one day.
That's actually what I call my mom.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
I was about to say you might have to clear that with him. And so I made daily, and he was like, "Yeah, we had to do a video for this. This would be great." Yeah. And like, we didn't expect it to do what it did. We just expected it to be something like really ill, in the city, and it might catch attention or whatever. And it ended up being like getting really far.
Yeah.
And so with that, we were like, all right, shit, we need another one. So I took a couple months, and I was just like, whenever I could find a studio, I was recording or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I recorded with this dude, JMP, and recorded this song called Michael Cera. And
that's the one that I saw.
Sent it to him, and he was like, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
We're doing this now.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, bet. And I didn't even think that song was going to do what it did either, and it ended up doing far more.
At this point, when you guys are starting to put out videos and stuff, had you already started a business relationship with him on some, like, you're going to be my manager?
Well, he'd been
be
guiding me for like a year up to that point on what I should do, because I was like making
blogging.
Like shit. He was really like basically running shit in Boston. Like, him and Goodwin were like, as far as like the young hip hop community went, they were like putting it together via through this blog, The Fresh Air, and like he started hosting events like Cyphers and shit like that. And that's when I would come out every single time there was an event and meet everybody and just try to stand out and let my personality shine, because that's what everybody's telling me to do.
Right.
Let your personality shine through your funny and your character. Be that to everybody. And so that's what I was doing. And then it kind of just naturally happened.
Yeah, you guys took a liking to each other, and it made sense, because he probably wanted to get into managing, you wanted to get into rapping, and then it just kind of like, you were the promising dude.
Also, yes, my mom called him one day.
Yeah.
She was talking to me, and she was like, about your manager, and I was like, what do you mean? She's like, Tim. I was like, well, Tim's not like my manager, you know, he just helps me, whatever. Yeah. I don't want to, you know. And she's like, call him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, fuck you mean? Call him. And she's like, call him. Call him, give him the phone, and she's like, you're Michael's manager. And he's just kind of like, is this a question? Nope.
She said, no.
That's what you are now.
That's funny.
Yeah.
She's like, don't make me come over here and give you the wooden spoon, boy. You're going to
manage
it. No,
she'll really whoop somebody's ass.
Yeah, I believe it.
For no reason.
Yeah.
So
That's funny,
but
dude.
She fucking loves them, too. Like, she loves you, and she loves Goodwin. Like, she loves them.
That's dope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good to have your family support, man.
It is.
My
mom thinks of all my friends and rap friends and everything as her kids. If you've been to my house once, you're my mom's kid, no matter how old you are.
Yeah. Well, let's summarize this last year then, because I feel like I met you in October at Low End Theory, I think. Late October, early November, but it was essentially a year since I had found out about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would imagine that this year has been kind of a whirlwind. So
let's
go through it. You put out the Michael Cera video, and like, what happens? I would imagine it starts to gain traction pretty quickly.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Where was the first place that you were excited that posted it?
Pigeons.
Shout
Pigeons were the first people to like post me, and I was going crazy. Like,
and I think that's where I saw it. They're one of the few blogs I actually follow on
Pigeons
Twitter.
And then Complex, I actually lost my shit. My first Complex post, like, really lost my shit. I think it was on Daily, not on Michael Cera, but I went crazy.
Yeah,
but the whole thing with like Michael Cera, I was really ill. That whole time period was the time that my dad was getting out of jail, and I did a show. He got out the 26th, which was like a Thursday or something like that. I did a show like that Sunday. And he came, and he was on stage for my whole set, and I shut shit down. This was my first show where I actually shut shit down. It wasn't my show. I was, like, second or third on the bill.
Whose
like,
show was it?
It was Alex Wiley. That's when I linked with Wiley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that show was so lit, and fucking, I had all these people come out to see me, and I did an interview. It was my first time doing a cool video interview. I felt like rap nigga that night. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And my dad was on stage. It was really emotional. It was a good night. And so right after that,
that
Michael
show
Cera came
will
out.
Stick with you forever. Like, you'll always,
forever,
you will always
everything.
Be chasing the high of that show.
That show. And I kind of got it this year during my release of Is This Art. Like,
that's
I had,
great.
Like,
well,
a
that's,
show.
And that's the whole thing is like,
but I got it because I brought my mom out.
Yeah, there you go.
She had never seen me rap in person. So it was just like having my dad come out for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what happens?
So put out Michael Cera, and then,
Did you guys already have a project in the works, or did you have like a full?
Well, I knew I wanted to do Is This Art.
Yeah.
Maybe a little before Michael Cera. I knew that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make
that
project. So
you started rushing to make that happen?
Kind of, because with the success of Michael Cera, I was like, all right.
You're like, fuck, I got
to
like.
Have to make it. So like, now people are not just like.
I got
to
capitalize on
this. What would a tape be like? They're like, we need this tape.
Yeah.
We are going to hit this tape.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, all right, bet. Let's just make this tape then. And the more I started working on it, like shit really caught, like. I started really going hard with it December into like January and February.
Uh-huh.
Like the last like 2-3 months is when I started like, all right, gotta make this tape. That's why in Vinnie Johnson, the last song on the tape, I'm like, this is like clutch shit. Like this shit's coming out in like a week. We gotta make this shit.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was sitting in the car with Tim not that far before the tape came out. And he's like, we're in New York. And he's like, you got a lot of music to make, like we're not that close and it's getting close to the time.
Yeah.
And I wrote that hook like right at that second in the cab.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, as soon as I get back to Boston, I'm gonna just force it.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
That's dope.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you put the tape out?
I remember that day was so weird. It was like the weirdest day of my life.
Why?
Because I didn't know, I'd never put out like a product like this. Like I never put out an anticipated mixtape before at all. And this is my first one, and this is the first time people from outside
just so you guys know, he uses quote fingers on anticipated, so that's not a douchey thing to say.
Quote anticipated.
Yeah, exactly.
Big eyes, too.
Yeah, yeah.
and so I was in New York because I had a meeting, interview with, like, Jack Thriller that day. So we put the tape out, and I felt like this really weird, like, adrenaline high feeling.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like, anxious as hell. But I'm, like, excited anxious. Like, I'm, like, nothing bad is going to come of this. Like,
right.
I put together this project. I believe in it. It's going to do well. Uh-huh. Somebody's going to like it, you know? And immediately after we put the tape out, stayed in the crib for, like, a half hour. And then we left. And we go to Jack Thriller's. And we do the interview. And in the middle of the interview, 50 Cent walks in the This Is 50 offices.
What?
And if you watch the interview, you can low-key see my face. You can see me like, but like I didn't stop. Everything went slow motion for me. I looked over and I was like, oh my God.
You're like, I'm going to go arm wrestle him.
He may get rich or die trying. Right. Like, what?
Right.
The greatest movie of all time. Which is not the greatest movie of all time. But when 50 Cent
when
is,
you say Get Rich or Die Trying, I think of the CD and you think of
the movie.
The
movie is fuck.
Yeah.
And it's not the greatest movie, but when 50 Cent is right there, that's the greatest movie.
Yeah,
ever.
All of a sudden that's because
he's right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And did that. And then we went and got chicken, because how do you put out a mixtape and not get delicious chicken?
I mean, that seems racist, but go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it did sound bad racist.
No, I'm just kidding. Go
nah, on. Yeah, that shit was bomb, too. And then after that, we went and saw the guy who, like, helped design my website or design my website.
Yeah.
And then I think we did, like, an interview at NYU that night. And that was, like, my whole day of putting
on
my tape.
How did it feel? Did it feel...
And the craziest
part was,
like... Did
it feel anticlimactic?
Like, no, it didn't. Okay. Though, that's the thing. It felt amazing. But the strangest part of the day, it's like when you're getting updated on how your election's going.
Yeah, totally.
But like you're on the run. Exactly, but you're on the run all day, too.
Where'd you guys put it out on?
We put it on everything, but Audio Mac was like
the main place.
And then on my website, rapthingy.com.
Rapthingy.com?
Yeah.
Okay, so go to rapthingy.com, download Is This Art.
It. Listen to it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's good.
If you want to show your girl something really nice, you want to sing her a ballad, listen to The World, and like, sing your heart out to it.
There you go. What happens? Like, when do people start picking up and you start getting phone calls from people where you're like, whoa, this is kind of crazy?
It all kind of just happened.
Yeah. Why?
Nothing ever really like stuck too crazy to me, because my whole thing from jump was don't get too wrapped up in things that are going on right now.
Absolutely. Just
because
keep moving forward.
Then you'll slow down and shit like that. So every time something crazy would happen, like I would always have this calm demeanor, even though inside I'm losing my shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm really going crazy, but like, I'm just like, all right, well, let's do that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so a bunch of crazy stuff happened. Like I met Gambino and he told me he like really liked Michael Cera. And I remember Goodwin like almost fucking passed out when he heard that. Like it was crazy. I met him backstage at a Boston show.
Dope.
We had JoJo in the hood, JoJo the singer.
Uh-huh.
We had her come.
Wait,
to
like
the
from
hood.
Casey and JoJo?
No, like JoJo from Boston.
Generational difference again.
Right now, like her.
Oh yeah.
So we had her in at the hood function. Like
really?
We had her in Roxbury.
Wait, she's
at
like
my
that
boy's
little
crib.
White girl actress singer.
Yeah.
Oh, she's fine though.
Yeah. So we had her in the hood. That was a crazy moment.
Wasn't she
this
in
year.
A movie with Robin Williams?
Yeah. Yeah. RV, I think.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Okay. RV. Now
and,
I know.
And Aquamarine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
she's fire.
We had her in the hood with all my, like...
How did that happen?
She came to one of my shows I opened at the Middle East one night.
Yeah.
And she was just in Boston. She came to the show and was just like, what are you doing after? She had a group of girls with her, so...
She just randomly showed up at your show?
Nah, she told me she was coming.
Oh, it's like, tweeted you or what?
Nah, she texted me. She had tweeted about me a few, like, not long before, and then I, like, DM'd her, damn, like, yo, hit me.
So now you guys know that Michael Christmas and JoJo are a thing.
Nope.
It's going to be on TMZ.
Nope.
Well, then give her my fucking number.
I will. All
right. No, just fucking me.
Nah.
Anyhow.
Yeah, she, so right after, we went to this diner in the hood and, like, got breakfast at night. Because that's what you do after a show. You get breakfast at
night.
Right,
absolutely.
And then my boy's crib was right down the street. We literally walked there.
Yeah.
And we go in, and it's all my homies from everywhere. And then JoJo and her friends, and they're dressed like JoJo and her friends.
Yeah.
Like she got a hat that's all big and fly, and everybody else is just in the hood.
And then you got your hair that's all big and all fly, and you
great
guys walk
hair
in together.
Oh, my hair is great.
Yeah.
I really like it.
That's
and
amazing.
That was cool. I remember last year, Benny Blanco, like, stopped me. He came out of NYU, and he was like, yo, I love your stuff. And I was
shit.
Like, what? And I didn't even have fans. Like, I only had, like, one or two videos.
You're very recognizable, though. That's
that
the thing.
Shit is great. And
like,
that's
you're like a big country bear jamboree looking motherfucker. Like,
exactly.
You just look like a giant teddy bear.
Exactly.
Pause. But like,
nah, I used to get that. That's like how I was luring girls when I was like in like fifth and sixth or seventh grade. I'm like, you know you want these hugs. Like, you know you want these hugs. Like, these are them hugs.
Oh,
you can't
shit
get this from Carlos.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I mean, you certainly have a very defined look. Like, you're easy to pick out of a crowd.
Yeah.
But I think also, like we said earlier, like the underdog thing, I feel like that's going to work for you. Because the moment that I heard the song, I was like, oh, pfft. Like, this guy's going to have a fucking great and very loyal following so long as he sticks with
and
it.
And it's
that's
because,
it.
Like, I just, like, everybody asks, like, self-deprecating and, like, the comedy shit. Is that what you do? And, like, I, like, comedy, I'm passionate about comedy. Like, I'm passionate about stand-up. I'm passionate about comedy writing. I want to do that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not me trying to be funny.
It's just
it's
you
just
being
me
you
telling my stories, and these stories happen to be hilarious. And I think... it's like, I'm just trying to make everybody comfortable with themselves and realize, like, everybody goes through these things, and it's not embarrassing. It's just real life.
Yep.
Life is, like, shitty sometimes.
And I think that's the thing that I think what I inherently got from you is just that, like, you're comfortable in your skin already. And a lot of people...
And
that,
I just got that.
That takes a lot of years. And but a lot of people don't figure that out when they're 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that an artist can really find their voice once they're comfortable in their own skin, and it seems like you're well on your way to, like, doing that. And that's the thing. That's the reason that I am pretty convinced that you're going to have a very loyal following that's going to grow with you, simply because you seem like you have your head on straight enough to where you're not going to, like... You're not going to be like flossing out and trying to Rick Ross on the next record or anything. You're going to keep doing. You're going to keep doing what you're doing, and I think that people are going to grow with you and they're going to love where you go with it. So
yeah, I mean, my whole thing is like, I'm never going to talk about having money unless I have money. I'm never going to talk about having anything unless
it. And even then, I bet you're the type of person that will be like, oh fuck, I have money, and it's like ruining.
I keep
my
telling
shit.
People like, when I get like a ton of money, like just like mansion money, I'm not going to buy a mansion.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy a regular house.
Yeah,
I'm gonna buy mad half broken tables, and I'm gonna pay wrestlers to come to my house and let me slam them through these tables. And instead of like all the money I save on a mansion that I'm not even gonna use in most of these rooms, instead
that's
I will have a great
dream
time.
I've ever heard.
Like, me and OG Swagger Dick are gonna pretend to be the Dudley Boys
and
get the tables, and we're gonna put through people through tables all day.
Can I be Shawn Michaels' old partner, Jannetty?
Marty Jannetty?
Marty
of course
Jannetty.
You could be Marty Jannetty. Right. You can get somebody else and y'all could be the Rockers. You can
there
get him.
You go.
Y'all could be the
me
Rockers.
And Ben, the new school Rockers.
Oh, man.
Well, hey, man, that was fucking tight. I didn't have to say shit. You're a talker, and I love when that happens. I love when that happens.
Isn't that always fun?
Yeah, man. So what's next for you as we're getting out of here?
I am going on tour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You have a big announcement that we're allowed to make. You're going on
tour.
Yeah,
I'm going on
tour
with Logic.
That's going to be huge.
40 dates. I'm in your city. With your girl Titty. this is going to be a fun tour. I'm like...
Where are you guys going? All throughout the country.
Yeah, and a couple Canada shows,
Canada
too.
Canada, too.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look for Michael Christmas in your town soon. Spraying fucking seed all over your girlfriend. It's going to be terrible for you, but great for him. What kind of capacity venues are you guys going to be playing?
I think the smallest is 450 and the biggest is 2,500.
Woo! That'll be fun, dude.
That's the range.
You're going to have a good time.
Oh, my God.
Get a lot of t-shirts, man. Get get a lot of merch.
Hell yeah, so everybody keep telling me. I might draw some with crayons.
Get a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
And I like my tour crew, too. It's like good friends of mine.
I feel like you're going to be great at hustling shit. Like, stay out there, hustle your wares, talk to people, remember people's names,
have fun. From jump, from my first show ever, I try to talk to as many people as possible. I used to like to go out in front of, the building and, whoever the headliner is, I'm like, you ready to see?
Yeah.
You ready to see him? Yeah. You fuck with them?
Yeah.
Word. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'll see you in there. And then, I go on stage and they're like, oh, that's
you
fucking
didn't even
guy.
Tell us.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think, there's something so great about being able to, really shake hands with people that mm-hmm. enjoy the art that you make and, remembering their name. And it's not some gimmick. It's like, no, I remember you and I remember what you told me.
Exactly.
And that means a lot to me.
Exactly.
And that's that kind of shit that makes you grow
did,
a
like,
family for a following.
I just did, Boston. I did this show at the Converse store.
Yeah.
On Newberry Street, which is, for those that don't know, Newberry Street, it's this main street where it's mad shops and shit. It's real narrow and everybody's there. And I loitered there all the time with my friends. But so they paid me to come over there and do a little couple songs. And we had that shit. The roof, the floor was going to break.
Yeah.
They came up to me during my set, yo, you got to tell them not to jump.
Oh, is this the Converse show?
Yeah.
Oh, I just saw a report about that. It looked really dope.
I go downstairs and the girl that works there, she's like, everybody's waiting for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, word. I'm thinking that means my friends open the door this whole fucking street.
Wow.
And they're just yelling. I was so close to crying, but I didn't. I just turned
it up. So you're getting your hometown on lock, and that's great.
It's really cool. I'm going back tomorrow for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to be tight.
And the thing is that once you become a hero of your hometown, you mm-hmm. can become a hero in any town.
Yeah.
But you got to get your own hometown
first.
Got
to do the hometown.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And they know I got love for them, and I know they have love for me.
Yeah, man. I see fucking big things for you. I'm excited that we got to lock down this conversation.
Hey,
it was really
you.
Dope. You're a good dude. And thanks to Tim for fucking helping out. And
thank you, Tim.
Shout out to Chris, Pell's manager, for contacting me with you guys, because I've been texting your punk ass for fucking 3 months and you never responded.
What?
But that's okay.
Yo, I'm so, yeah.
It's
no,
right.
I really don't. I
know.
First of all, let me just show
I
you
I thought
my
for
phone.
Sure that the dick pic would get you. I was like, oh. Oh my God, your phone is so sad. I think my mom has that same phone.
Alcatel,
bro. My mom, OG Swagger Dick, has that same phone. Anyway, tell the people where they can find you.
All right, go Twitter, at Mickey Christmas.
At Mickey Christmas.
Mickey
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
Spelled
Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. Instagram, Michael Christmas. Tumblr, Michael Christmas. YouTube, Michael Christmas.
Michael Christmas, M-I-C-H.
Rap thingy.
A-E-L Christmas.
If you spell Michael M-I-C-H-E-A-L, I don't trust you.
I just always get it confused because that's not a name that I spell that often.
True.
You know?
I grew up all about Mike Tyson, Mike Jordan.
Mike, exactly.
Yeah.
It's I wanted to be like Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Yeah.
I wanted to be black and have a tattoo on my face. That's what I
By the way, Mike Tyson's new show on Adult Swim is fire.
I've heard that it's funny. I'm a big Mr.
Funny.
Pickles guy.
Yo, everybody comes at me about fucking with Mr. Pickles.
I like Mr. Pickles a lot.
This shit's great. It's creative. It's awful.
It's
clearly,
so
it doesn't stem from an evil place. It's, no Satanist is sitting in Adult Swim
no.
I hate everything. Let's make a show.
It is a very dark and gory show, though, but it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Anyhow, thank you guys for coming in. I appreciate it, man. And we're going to do a song. Are you going to kind of premiere something, or is it coming out the next week when we put this
out? Yeah, something like that.
What's it called?
It's new as fuck. It's called Fuck With Me.
Okay, so you're going to be watching on youtube.com/... I have a full new social media thing that I have to tell all of you guys because I changed a bunch of my things. So you're going to be seeing Michael Christmas perform Fuck With Me on youtube.com/C/kindaneat because we got a new custom URL for our YouTube channel.
New tube.
I think that if you go youtube.com/thatskindaneat, it'll still work. But for now, /C/kindaneat. Also, we have a new Twitter. @kindaneat. We used to be That's Kinda Neat, but now we changed it and we're fucking mad official, and now we're @kindaneat. So fuck the world. We're out here. Don't ask me for shit.
Don't ask me for shit.
Yeah, exactly. That being said, my name is Lee. You can follow me on Twitter @itsatuition. You can follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery, @IamDatabase. Base with two S's. What else?
Go drop a bomb on him.
download the podcast app, search for Kinda Neat, and subscribe. Leave a comment, leave a rating, tell us how handsome we are, tell them how sexy my voice is, leave 5 stars. It's very helpful and it's very official, you know. If you out there listening, this is our Christmas special because fuck it, we're gonna put this out the day before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, we'll see you in the new year. Thank you guys so much for everything. This has been a fucking amazing year because of you guys. We hit 4 million views on YouTube, 25,000 subscribers. We love you so so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was Michael Christmas. I'm boom, Lee. Boom, boom, boom. And this was Kind of Neat.
That was tough.
Dude, that was great. You're such a good talker. Fuck.